You are listening to The Lifehack Show, a featured podcast of lifehack.org, where we teach you how to live your best life without sacrifice. I'm Allie Kramer, and today I'll be talking with Dr. Julia Ivey. Dr. Julia Ivey is a strategy and international business executive professor and faculty director at Northeastern University. She is the creator of the B-Edge method, which arose out of the point of intersection of her two areas of expertise, psychology and management. In addition to her academic work, Dr. Ivey is also an executive coach for universities and businesses. Hi, Dr. Ivey. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Allison.
Absolutely. So in this episode, I'd really love to get your thoughts on the impact of one's career and life satisfaction overall. At Lifehack, we really talk a lot about and teach the idea of work-life harmony as part of a framework for living a full life. So how essential would you say someone's choice of career and the ability to craft their own edge on the job market relates to the overall happiness or feelings of success in one's life?
Wow, what a question. I mean, of course, you know, like as any question, the answer is it depends. It depends what how we define the happiness in our life.
Yes.
And right now, this economy will really make the division between the two groups of people on the job market as a candidate. Mm-hmm. It even a month ago, it was so much easier to be on the market because there were more jobs than people. Right. So we could choose the one. And the whole my methods was kind of helping people to fulfill more from their job. Even it would be easier to get some job, I wanted them to be empowered to right. make a choice, to have their own boutique space in the market. Right. And that's why I even, you know, called my methods like boutique employability, where you own your space, you select your employer, you define the scope in your own market where you are good. And this is what, for me at least, it's quite close to fulfillment and happiness in the professional side of our lives.
Right. Now, they go hand in hand. Yes, absolutely. Now everything is completely changed.
Everything has just completely changed. And, you know, it's changed for us because, you know, like I am a strategy professor. My last course, I teach Capstone, mm-hmm. so which is the last course before graduation. Mm-hmm. My students, when we started this course, like in January, they knew that they would get a job easy because they're Northeastern, because they have like a couple degrees, da-da-da. Now, everybody becomes a little bit more nervous because mm-hmm. the companies are in trouble. The companies have to cut their expenses so they cannot hire new people or, and now we come to the or, they have to hire only people who they really need. That's
yes.
it.
Essential.
Mm-hmm. Essential. How to become essential.
Right.
So right now, let's put ourselves on the shoes of this employer who have to be extremely careful who they hire, what kind of people they need, because they understand that the people become, on the one hand, kind of expenses because they do mm-hmm. want to pay well. On the other hand, they become investment in the capital, human capital of the company to have.
Sure.
So the whole range of candidates who are applying to their job, four employers will fall into one of two categories. The category A, it will be one of many. So this mm-hmm. all will be wonderful people around us whose resume would present education and experience that would be nice, good mm-hmm. enough. However, blended with many, many other resumes and experience.
Sure.
And especially for 2020, 2021 graduates who don't have much experience. So they're already disadvantaged position and they will be blended with many of them. Or people who want to change career.
Yes.
And they do have experience in their previous life, but in the new life, they don't. How to distinguish themselves? To stuck in some kind of lower level jobs, to any job, or to choose a plan B? So the second group of people, these are people who I serve, who mm-hmm. I extremely passionate about and who I devote all my, I don't know, heart and my mm-hmm. brain and my years of experience So I call this a category B, BE. Mm-hmm. And again, it used to be a category of boutique employability. Right now, I call this like just B, just to be. Yeah,
we nice. Have to be. Just existence here. And, just and existence. Being in the present. Yeah.
Exactly. You see how interesting this kind of like the wordplay because of this change.
Absolutely.
So these people, for employers, again, we still stay in the shoes of employers. They look at each of these people like one of one. One of one. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly the one who my company needs.
Right.
So the employers will perceive these candidates as tailored specifically for their company. They will consider this candidate as a capital mm-hmm. that will provide the most needed value to the face of challenges, specific challenges the companies face right now. So my passion, my book, my coaching, everything what I do right now, it's how to help people to be in the BE territory.
That is fascinating. And you're absolutely right at how adaptable this can, this method of yours with like you were saying just a month ago, times were very different for many people. How do you keep your graduate students motivated, you know, coming up? Have you changed your courses to online only in light of the COVID?
Of course. Yes, of course we did. But again, one of the questions, you know, like people ask right now, how the markets changed even before coronavirus. Mm-hmm. The gig economy already kind of like prepared us to this transition. So that's why for me, it wasn't really difficult mm-hmm. because first of all, I do have experience of teaching online in my previous work. And I'm a part of a gig economy. So mm-hmm. I live in Boston, but also I work in Eastern Europe where many, many of my clients are. Mm-hmm. And my clients also in Alaska where I used to work. And et cetera. So for me, honestly, there is no big deal where
sure.
I'm right now located. As long as I can speak language, as long as I can see their face and they can see my face, we are fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Technology is amazing for that. Thank goodness
amazing.
For it.
Yes, but it's also a challenge.
Yes.
You know, it makes the competition so different for the job market. It used to be local candidates, right? It's just mm-hmm. like a couple years ago, company wanted to hire local candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, they wanted to hire candidates from a specific industry. It was the boundaries between markets were very specific. It was American market or Massachusetts market or even New York market, even like a city, right? Market.
Right.
Now, you know, when I developed my website, my freelancer, through freelancer.com and the person who we become kind of close in our conversation, everyday conversation, who we just worked so well together.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 weeks of work, to my embarrassment, I shared with my mom and she asked me, is it he or she? And I was just like, oh my God, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
So, and I wasn't comfortable even asking this question.
Yeah,
you know,
at that like, point.
Yeah. And as I'm like in America, we're not always comfortable asking this.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of didn't know what to do. And the person, by the way, was from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And we worked well together. So this is about the market. But the industry as well, it used to be IT, digital technology, education. Different industry, medicine, different industry.
Mm-hmm.
And look at right now,
mm-hmm. right?
IT and medicine already blended, education yeah. and IT blended, education and medicine blending. For instance, the course of psychology of finance. Can you imagine this
right.
course? Like it's,
right.
just, it's a new reality. And that's why the B candidates, the BE candidates become the only really competitive in this new world. We uh-huh. used to, it's like in past, you could say, okay, for some people, this, you know, boutique employability, this BE personal strategy, good for them. I am fine with my 1 degree. I'm just accountant. Mm-hmm. I'm working in my local company and this is what I want to do. I mean, good luck with them.
Sure, sure.
But
they're not going to stand out. Absolutely.
Yeah, they just will have to accept their tiny place and their tiny space and be kind of careful about if it will not get away from them, you know?
Sure.
And I want people to be empowered, to be in ownership of their own career. It's like whatever happens, they navigate their professional life. And yeah, so yeah. This is
yes,
where we are.
That's wonderful. It's actually very inspiring to hear you say that, because despite the vast change of circumstances in so much of the world in very many areas, what you're saying is there's evidence already that there's a holistic component to kind of the solution here, different industries merging. And then on top of that, the self-empowerment is a huge component to helping you craft your own edge in the job market and really, really stand out, because the competition is greater now than it probably ever has been for many people in their lifetime.
The good news that such an economy and such a personal strategy for boutique employability is natural for millennials. Mm. It is just how they craft. You know, this is who they are. They are multidimensional. They would be suffocated in a box of given job instruction. I call this one-dimensional jobs.
Uh-huh.
They would do this like the first 3 years after graduation just to get the first, you know, the first set of money, and they would leave. Uh-huh. And this was a problem, again, just a couple months ago for the companies, that millennials didn't stay because they were suffocated. So uh-huh. For millennials, actually right now, it's a good opportunity, you know, even though sure. It's a horrible time, but at the same time, everything is changing so much that millennials who want to be good, they have all the opportunities to be good. And for people who change careers, who are not scared to change careers.
Yeah.
This is the second group. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk more about that multidimensional aspect. Mm-hmm. How can either a millennial or anyone else that's just, you know, graduating and thinking about the job market, or maybe someone who had really, really had their heart set on a career change and is still hoping to go forward with that, how could they become more multidimensional in their the assets that they have to offer to a company?
Perfect. So the question is about like instrument about this, like what they can actually do to capitalize mm-hmm. on this. I have a good news. They are already multidimensional. Mm. We are multidimensional.
That is good news.
It's a good news, right? So what we have to do, we have to really start like taking ownership for our own multidimensional profile. And my methods have like specific steps they have to, they just can follow. The step number one, you make a list of all your competences. And I do this in classes, and this is with my in executive coaching with veterans who are changing the whole career at the time of retirement. And this is the first step.
So yeah, and inject that positivity and the strength.
Exactly.
Awareness.
And they're kind of like impressed how much they can do. The first three lines, like obvious. Everybody put like, oh, okay, I have degree in this, I have degree in that, I have like 10 years experience of this. Usually they're done on the line number three. And I just uh-huh. like, no, it must be minimum of 10. And they're just like, oh no, just like, yes, 10. And I tell them minimum, and 15 is welcomed. So I tell them that they should feel free to put irrelevant expertise mm-hmm. as long as it's potentially can be paid mm-hmm. in the market. So mm-hmm. you cannot put down like, I'm a good listener, just like good for you, but nobody's going to pay for this, right? Or I'm extremely smart. Just like, okay, everybody can say this.
Sure.
But if you can say that, you know, like actually when I was a student, I work in a bar, I can deal with any customers and keep selling the product. Just
right.
like, this is the expertise we need, you know?
Absolutely. And that's a great way to frame it, to think about past performance and accomplishments
exactly.
that
exactly.
maybe you're not thinking about, because...
Like, look at me. Like, I do speak with accent, and your mm-hmm. listeners already got it. So I'm from Eastern Europe. I was in present at the time when Soviet Union collapsed. Was I happy about this? I mean, I didn't know what to do because it was like similar what we have right now. The whole economy just yesterday somehow worked, good or bad, but worked. Today didn't work at all. Mm-hmm. All these pieces, you know, like the republics become closed from each other, which used to be open. You could not even travel easily how you used to travel before.
Sure.
Isn't it reminding you our today? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
My point is that I kind of learned not to mention my previous experience in my professional world. You know, like I'm American, I have my passport, don't ask me about this, whatever Soviet stuff. Now I think if you want to be multidimensional, put in your, you know, like one of the pieces, maybe number 8 in your list, especially because I'm asking them to put 15.
Yeah,
they have to be creative. So put that you have experience of managing supply chain when everything is broken, and it becomes quite an important value.
Absolutely. Right? So,
for instance, my daughter, she worked in remote areas of Alaska in a helicopter as a student. Like, is it relevant for the job she does now? Not really, but she knows how to establish these meeting points for people where people would never meet face to face, but they feel that somebody is here for you, left for you a note, left for you maybe some supply, and you come to this place and you feel like, good, somebody is here for me, even if you never met this. And look at what we have right now, social distancing.
Absolutely.
This become one of the, so my point, step number one, put all these minimum 10, welcome 15 points, everything what can be paid, you know, like, and we all, if you look back, it's a lot. Mom of 3 who is homeschooled children, she has such a great list of experiences and qualifications that if she put it down, it would be, you know, like 25 maybe,
right,
points, not even 10. And one of the points would be how to keep, you know, children engaged through virtual interaction, right?
Absolutely.
This is what she knew much better than many teachers maybe know, because she had to do this. So if she put this inside, this become her list of multidimensional. Then they look at their list and they become impressed. They actually, you know, unbeatable, because this is the unique, you know, unique portfolio. It's a toolbox. Yeah. Step number 2. Then when they look around the companies, and now we come to the next kind of, you know, elucidate your professional core, right? So this is just was a prep. Elucidate your professional core when you think about the company you really want to help, you really care about. Not because you want anything from the company, because you care about the company and you care about this challenge the company is facing right now. So for instance, and yesterday actually in my online class with my graduates, I asked them for their, you know, each of them define the company. And I was amazed how wonderful choices they made, you know, like people who want to be one day employed in a smaller, vibrant company, they didn't ask for employment, but they said that they care about local businesses, local restaurants in their own hometown. Like Aseli, my another student, she cares so much about Chinese restaurant, and she is not Chinese. And I asked, like, Aseli, why? Why do you, you know, like it was a part of exercise asking why. And she said, like, because xenophobia is wrong. I don't want them to be, to suffer because of this, you know, like brand damage.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, good for you. And I told, like, wonderful. So step number 2, we choose the company we care about, the type of companies we care about, and the type of, and the challenge they're facing right now. And, you know, the company is facing challenges all the time. Today it will be coronavirus challenge. Tomorrow would be like competition challenge, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And this is company you feel related. You really want to feel related. And you look at this company after you define company challenge, Then you look at your toolbox, multidimensional toolbox, and pick up three. I usually suggest three, but my friends even laughing that I like the number of three, I guess. It might be two, it might be three, it might be more than one. I would suggest more than one. Okay. Expertise would potentially somehow can help this company to solve this challenge.
What you can now, give to them.
Yes, like you, and you know, who else would be in such a unique combination? Like, for instance, look at me. Like, I have like PhD in psychology, but also in strategy, but also Soviet Union experience, but also I am, by the way, good in volleyball, and also, by the way, I was da-da-da-da-da. It's just me who is such a weird combination of something, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you are, like, in a weird, I use in a very positive way.
Yes.
You're unique.
Yeah,
it
definitely.
Would be because you worked in the bar, and right now you are CEO, but you also was a, you know, varsity team cheerleader, captain, which is quite a skill to have, etc. So you combine these several skills to elucidate your multidimensional core specifically for this company and for this challenge. You kind of sharpen yourself for this specific challenge to solve. You serve this challenge. You serve the company. It's not about you. It's about the company and challenge. And this is what be the first most important part. You see, it's all about passion. It's all about me trying to help others. And at the end of the day, this is what we appreciate most. This is who become one of one. This is people we want to hire if they want to help my company, if they care about my company, but also if they have enough expertise to really make it happen, to add value, not just full of passion, but also, you know, useful,
right?
Capable to add value.
Yeah, yeah, I love how you put this out there, like, because it's probably different than what a lot of, say, people that are looking to change careers or enter into a career have been thinking about. Mainly because you're saying there's so many people that would just go out there and say, okay, here's my resume, here's my cover letter, I'm just going to shoot it out to everybody. And right away, that doesn't have the individual connection to the company. And it's certainly not elucidating the professional core that you're talking about. Yes. And what you're encouraging people to do, what I love is the first step is to choose one company and find your connection to that company and then find your strengths and how that can also help strengthen the company. That's
absolutely
a beautiful way to put it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And these people who you just described, it's such a great example. It used to be kind of almost a you know, benchmark what success people would do in 80s, but now it's not 80s anymore. Like
no.
In 80s, yeah, it's in the corporate world, you just shoot, you know, like this is my degree, this is my, and I'm just targeting this career, and I'm the fastest, the smartest, and the most hungry man, etc. And it's just like, hey, but it's gone. It's gone. It's, we are not interested anymore. And they, right now, people who keep doing this, they're making two mistakes. First of all, they define themselves as one-dimensional, you know, because otherwise it's really hard to sell.
Yes.
And second, yeah, they push this message. But the second, they allow others to buy you, you know, kind of they're here for, they're kind of like, please buy me. They're here for sale. And in my methods, they're not here for sale. They are crafting this space, which they would be so inspired to be because they are good at, because this is what they are tailored for. This is what they're sharpened for because this is their life.
Right. And they're very unique and they're going to have a hard
they're
time.
They're very unique. And they feel that they are making difference. This is also extremely rewarding feeling that they are not just doing my job. I do, you know, I am working work. I am job and job. So something like this. I'm just, no, I am making difference. I am solving a challenge, which I care about. And this is what we live for, right?
Yeah. And I think that's a really good way to touch very directly on the point that I was talking on how to, you know, really live a fulfilling and quote unquote successful on your own terms life. It really comes down to finding that connection with your work that you as a unique person can have and to feel proud of and to feel motivated by. It's that intrinsic motivation because you know that you're a unique individual. And you can.
And I, when I work with my executives, my CEO, with businesses, when I coach businesses and consult them, they always not complain, but share that, you know, there are two problems in HR area, in human resource area. The problem number one, there are so many people who want to work in my company. Mm-hmm. So it's so hard to choose. The problem number two, just nobody is good enough for my company to work with. You know, so this is what we are trying. We're trying to be in the second category, just to be different than everybody else, to be one of one.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And again, to have people that are listening to the show right now think about their own strengths, their own qualities. We often get a lot of letters from readers who will say, oh, they're too old to have a career change, you know, or like your example, oh, I was just a stay-at-home mom for 30 years. What skills do I have to offer the job market? But what you're saying is there's so much hope and potential. It's really, if you make the most of your own skills and potential and really craft your own edge in this world, you can stand out just like anyone else. It depends on where
even better because you know how to take ownership for your own life. You did it so many times. So you know that you are, it's a kind of like being dimensional. It's number one. I mean, there are three actually prerequisites for the BE strategy. One is, yes, you are multidimensional. I promise you, you are. You just have to do inventory of your dimensions and sharpen this for each challenge. Like pick up from your toolbox only two, which is relevant for this. Don't take more, because otherwise your employer would be confused. You know, just don't confuse them.
Yeah,
Stay focused. 2, 3, think how you combine them and stay with this. This is the number one. Number two, your ownership. You own your space. And this is what distinguish people who change in their career. People who are close to retirement. People who are just recently retired. Not because even they need money. You know, it's not even this question. But because they want to make difference, they want to have fulfilled. And they just say like, you know, now I can afford doing what I want to do.
Yes.
And this is right now people in their 50s, people in their 60s, people in their 70s sometimes, they have become so valuable for the companies because it's exactly because multidimensional and because they feel ownership. And the last one, it's a three prerequisites. It's a belief that you love solving challenges. You just love puzzle, you know, like working with puzzles. And you like making difference. So if you pass all these three, you feel that you own your own life. You navigate your own career. Second, you are multidimensional. And number three, you love solving challenges. You're asking for opportunity to solve challenges.
Absolutely.
Because you love it.
Yeah.
And you love making difference. That's it. You are my person. That's it. You are unbeatable on the market.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that you say that because that really goes along with everything that we teach at Lifehack to really feel fulfilled. It's about finding the opportunities in any obstacle. And well, so many people can feel, oh, I've been out of the job for 30 plus years or something. You've been doing something. And so find that opportunity and make it a positive, or find that obstacle and make it into a positive opportunity. You're absolutely right. Find that puzzle. Love that puzzle.
Don't ask for anything. Don't ask at the beginning for anything. Just say, you know, I am here to solve the puzzle. Money will come, I promise. So they will come because the companies need somebody who will really care and be capable to solve their challenges. And they have these challenges. I believe the opportunities... and it's again, as a strategy person, opportunities, they are outside, but I believe more for opportunities inside. We craft their own opportunities. So they already have these opportunities. They just have to, you know, let them go. Like, again, combine these three and look around the companies they care about. Not even, these companies might be not even hiring anybody. Just say like, I care about your company. I love your company because you do so well for the community. Like what kind of, I think the company is facing this and that challenges. Tell me if I'm wrong. And they usually say, you're right. Or they maybe just say, you know, a little bit different way. Just like, okay, can you please let me, you know, deal with this puzzle? Just yeah. like to feel that I'm connected. And you know, like 95% my students, this is their final project in their graduation class. They come to the companies and this is exactly what they say. 95%, actually, I think 100%. Companies say like, yeah, that's they don't great. Ask for anything. It's just like, no, I just want this opportunity to solve the challenge.
I love
to
that.
Feel that I can make difference. And this is what it happened. You know, yeah. they work for the company and they develop trust. This is would be second step number two. Then they generate value. Mm-hmm. And at the end, they excite the company that somebody is just caring about them. They're not promoting themselves. They're just caring about the company. What right. else can we ask for?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's you thinking of someone that does hiring myself, that would be an amazing candidate to have approach me with creativity and curiosity and just, you know, a drive to want to connect. That's
and
an
capabilities really to add value. So
absolutely.
We just, again, we don't. So that's why after Elucidate Your Core, we talked a lot, right? Mm-hmm. The second step would be develop trust. How they do this? Easy. So what they do, after they, you know, figure out the challenge they want to work, they do not rush with their solution. Do uh-huh. not stop. Just wait. You know, like in this Braveheart movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember this Mel Gibson, just hold it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is what I tell my students. Don't be too smart, too fast, because, you know, your idea is half-baked and you just have opposite reaction from employer. Mm-hmm. So what you do, step two, you develop trust. You ask permission to learn about the company, to talk with people who actually right now already working on this challenge and to do a little bit homework about how, you know, industry market operates. So you take your time, you talk with the owner. Usually they just love to give you, you know, like perspective, mm-hmm. what's the challenge, what's they already doing, who else involved, do's and don'ts, something like this. And you just listen, you're a biographer of the company, you're a storyteller. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You just love it. And it's exactly how you listen, how you absorb all the words about the company, how you love the company. This is what is so appealing. Then you ask who else you can talk about this specific challenge. But you don't talk about everything, just this mm-hmm. challenge and nothing else.
I love that, becoming a student of the company. That's a
exactly.
great...
Exactly. Biographer of the company, student uh-huh. of the company. And you combine everything what you digged in into a story. I call this a company case. And it's, sometimes it's just two pages. Sometimes it's one page. Just a kind of summary of whatever finding you find through listening, but also do maybe some a little bit research on internet, what other company do on this specific challenge. You don't solve it yet. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of have a prep. And this is where a miracle happens. You develop trust. And you know how to speak their language because mm-hmm. you listen to them. And you know what their do's and don'ts. You know what they're already doing. So your idea would not duplicate what the company already have, right?
Uh-huh.
And it will not be out of touch because you already know what they kind of want you to do. So while you are listening, you kind of like, I told my students just to put on the shelves because you have already idea what you think you would do, but you kind of in your mind kind of reshape your idea. It's almost like when, you know, it's just like designer suit when, you know, this mm-hmm. is the difference between something what you buy in a, you know, department store and something what is made specifically for you. You are making specifically for the company. This yeah. is a not, yeah. And this is a, then you make this, oh, sorry. Then you make this, should I start again?
Listen. Oh, no, you're good. Keep going.
Okay. So you write this company story. Again, it doesn't have to be, you know, a story. You don't have to be a writer. It might be bullet points.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, so what's right now the challenge is 1, 2, 3. What is already done? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And whatever language you are comfortable and whatever you believe the company is comfortable to read about, you just combine everything into 1, 2, 3 pages and give back to the client, to the guy who you are trying to solve. No solution yet. But at the end, you put the question you want to answer. So should the company do this or that? Mm-hmm. And this is the end of your company case. So you give the client and you ask, what did I do wrong? What did I miss? Mm-hmm. How far I am from the reality? And, you know, because you don't offer and because you are so humble and because it's so, you know, interested, they read this. And as I always joke with my clients and I ask them what they always read on Facebook, like always. And they looked at me just like news and just like, oh, come on. You read some news and you don't read another news. But what you always read, never miss. Until somebody said like comments on my own post, just like exactly.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. So when we give them this story of the companies, they love it because it's me, yeah. My company, right? So they read this and they make corrections. They disagree with something, which is wonderful if they disagree. Mm-hmm. They agree with something and we just like, again, humble and appreciative to any correction. And if they say, oh, you're out of touch here, just like, okay, happy to change. Please just like, thank you. Oh my God. I learned this, I learned that. Becomes kind of, you are two parents of the same baby, the challenge you are trying to solve.
Yeah.
So then they approve this and you have everything. Then they usually ask, so what do we do? Just give us a solution. And this is the bingo. This is the, then you just take, you know, a couple more days and you bring them, you know, whatever recommendation you want them to do. You add value.
This is a beautiful recommendation for building relationships with employers. It's so straightforward, but also in a way so opposite of all the advice I've heard so often, but it makes so much sense. When you give something to somebody without any expectation other than making that connection and just showing interest and it being humble, as you're saying, it's very impressive. Very, very impressive.
And very kind of intuitive as well, right? Like it's how we raise our children and somebody who loves my children, I love them already.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
Even, and if somebody who don't even know my children but already lecturing me, I don't like them already.
Exactly.
So just learn first about my child and then give, and then maybe I will ask you for advice, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly what we want. Learn first and then when I ask you for advice, give me your advice. And this is, we come to the EDG, you see? So elucidate your core first, take ownership, then develop trust, then generate value. And when you generate value, make your multidimensional profile really play. So this is where it comes together. So where you use your previous experience and don't be shy to cross the boundaries of industries. Mm-hmm. Bring your experience from other industries, from other past experience. And this is the people who change career would be extremely valuable because, again, being a veteran, I have one of the clients who was a veteran in intelligence, in emerging economy. And I asked like, okay, so I'm not going to ask you what you exactly did, but what kind of skill you want to bring for this, you know, like social distance, you know, like all this coronavirus situation. And he said like, I know how to develop communication flow, which would be extremely efficient and extremely resilient. I'm just like, oh my God, that's this company's, it's exactly what they need.
Yeah.
But you know, like if you know how to, you know, how to offer this. So if this person, when he developed, generate value, stage three, as I said, after develop trust, they already trust him. They already love him. They're already interested in his opinion. When he developed his recommendations, he actually put down his expertise of being in past veteran or being in a remote areas of Alaska or being from emerging economy or being very well connected in the Chinese community, so I can bring all this knowledge together for this company and give them, for free. And this is how we become BE. And the last stage will be Excite. Mm-hmm. Excite, because we excite them.
I'm already excited, so.
Yes, with a match, you know, it's all about matching. It's almost like in dating, like so there are so many wonderful people around, but we are looking for one match when we feel like home, when we feel that we trust it and we trust and we are trusted in people, in somebody who love us, who we are. And this is exactly the moment what happened at the end, because this person already knows everything about, you know, showed that this person already can generate value, know how to develop trust, and is trustful, and is trusted, and most important, passionate about my company. Sure. And this is the BE strategy.
That's amazing. I can't thank you enough. We're out of time now, but everything that you've described is very, I want to say, it just gives so much hope to where people maybe right now, maybe they had an opportunity before where they were working in a job and maybe they've gotten laid off because of the COVID-19 situation. And maybe when they hear this episode, they'll start to feel more empowered about their past experiences and what the future can hold for them. Because the way that you put it, it's that we all have something very, very unique to offer. And we just have to find, like you're saying, in dating, that perfect match and get it, make them excited about it. And then you'll become excited about it. This is great advice. Fantastic.
And in this, you know, in this economy in such a hard situation, I'm really not, you know, into selling my book. I'm right now, honestly, I don't care so much about book. Mm-hmm. I just want this to work, you know. The book is a manual, is a how-to. It's like, it's everything what we just discussed. It's the set of exercises what people just follow one from one and fill in templates. They just put their name there and go to the employer and say exactly what we just discussed.
That's amazing. So for the people that would like to purchase your book or even get more information about it, called Crafting Your Edge for Today's Job Market, please let them know where they can learn more about your book.
I mean, first of all, of course, my website, b-edge.com.
Or
Julia, yes, and that's it. So here they will find the book, my blog, where I write about a lot about all these, you know, like millennials, people who change careers, or veterans, and how they can apply these methods for them. And also the media, where all publications about, you know, my methods already there, so they can find all it's in my website. Edge.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Ivy. This was a fascinating episode. And again, hopeful and very informative on basically how you can really set yourself apart in today's economy. But also, I feel like that it's relevant no matter what time period we're living through or whether there's a crisis or no crisis. Your words are, they're going to help a lot of people.
Hope so. I really hope so, because I'm also here to make difference. Right?
Yes. I can tell your passion comes through quite well through everything that you've talked about today. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Alison.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of our listeners out there for your continued support. That wraps up today's show, and please stay tuned for the next episode.